greet you in the name of the Lord, so thankful for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay tuned as we bring you today's Way of Truth broadcast.
Be strong and valiant for the truth. Resist the tempted luring power. Shun all the avenues of sin. And trust in God each day and hour. Be strong and firmly trust. And keep us from the wrong. Be strong and firmly trust.
Firmly trust
in God through everything.
Be true
and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed. He is our tower high, and to the meek He giveth grace. A shield He is to them that trust, a joy of those that seek His face. Be strong and firmly trust. Not, He says, whatever in their hearts will find, and make you lie in pastures green, in paths of pleasantness He'll guide. Be strong and firmly trust.
Stand,
and with His grace and strength be blessed.
The Scriptures exhort us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Apostle Paul instructs us, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And he goes on then and enumerates the armor that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege we have of ministering to this precious congregation today. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will take us and take our broadcast and make it a blessing to each one. Now we're so thankful for Your love, for we know that You love everyone, You are concerned for everyone, and Jesus died for everyone. So we're asking You to minister to the needs of our congregation today. Help them that they might seek to do Thy bidding and Thy will, for we know that You are always right, and whatever You instruct, whatever You would have us to do, it is for our good. So bless this precious people today, and use our broadcast in Jesus' name. Amen.
In a world filled with pleasure, where death
Our subject for today's broadcast, Christian Trials. And our text of scripture is Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Christian trials. Not all Christians are tried in the same way. Some may be tried with one thing, some may be tried with another thing, but regardless of what it may be, all Christians are tried. There is a power, an evil power in the world that opposes everything that is good and right. And I'll have more to say about that a little later, the Lord willing. But let us consider how Christians are tried. First of all, as gold is tried, two parts shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. That's Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. The final stage of gold production is refining. It involves removing impurities that remain after the smelting process. As you doubtless know, gold is heated so that it might bring the dross to the top and can be removed. But this statement says the final stage of gold production, refining, involves removing impurities that remain after the smelting process. So we are to be tried as Christians. We are to be tried and we are to be purified as gold. So I gather from this statement that God allows the trial and the test to come our way, that we might be refined, that we might be purified. And so it is to our good and not to our detriment that the trial comes. We don't always understand it that way. We don't always look at it that way. But the Lord said he was going to have a tried people. Now, as by fire, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. You know, there are various trials and tests that we go through, and we think, well, I'm the only one that has this kind of a trial, and I'm the only one that has to face this kind of thing. But Peter said, we are not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try us, as though some strange thing happened unto us. In other words, Peter is saying, the trial, the fiery trial that we have, is not uncommon to the Christian, that there are more than one Christian that has these fiery trials, and we are to face them and to be overcomers by the grace of God. The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. So we see and understand from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. The source from which persecutions come. Let us consider this thought. The source from which persecutions come. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So Jesus said in John 15 and 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. So we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. Now, the reasons why the world persecutes God's people. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So Jesus said in Mark 13 and 13. Because they are not of the world. Reasons why the Christian is persecuted. Why God's people are persecuted. Because they are not of the world. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Again, Jesus speaking, John 15 and chapter 15 and verse 19. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So Jesus said in his prayer to the Heavenly Father, recorded in John 17 and 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now let us understand the word world here. It's not talking about maybe you enjoying certain types of food or some type of ice cream or that. No, what it's talking about here when it speaks of the world, it's talking about the sinful, ungodly things that are in the world and those who are living the sinful and ungodly life. Now, because they live godly is one reason why, or the reason why, that we are persecuted and we pass through trials and tests. Paul, in his writings to Timothy, said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So because you, as a Christian, live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. That may sound strange, and it may be strange in some people's eyes and thinking, why should a person be persecuted for doing what is right? And of course, living godly is living right, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. And of course, living godly is living a life that is free from sin. Why should a person be persecuted? Why should they be accused and ridiculed and made fun of and mocked? Because they do what is right. I think of the man Noah. He and those who labored with him labored presumably about 100 years in the building of the ark. Can you imagine how much ridicule he faced as he set about doing what was right and obeying God? And, of course, there were those wicked people around him who made fun of him because of what he was doing. They had never heard of such a thing as a flood, and they didn't believe that there was going to be one. But nevertheless, he believed God and set about to do what God told him to do. So the Christian is persecuted. They face trials and tests because they do what is right, because they live godly, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Again, 2 Timothy 3:12. But now let us also consider the fact that it is not just the sinful and the ungodly people in the world today that are opposing and ridiculing, making fun of Christians, but there is an enemy in the world that we call Satan. And Satan is an adversary. He is an adversary to everything that is good and godly. His character, his nature is to hate, and Satan hates all that is good. And whenever a Christian is living a good life, a holy life, Satan, of course, hates them. In fact, Satan hates everybody. He even hates those that are serving him and doing his will. He doesn't have the capacity to love. So he hates everybody, but especially does he hate and oppose the Christian. We read in Matthew chapter 4 about how Satan came against our Lord of three notable temptations, and he tried to get the Lord Jesus to bow down and to worship him. Satan wants people to worship him. He wants to be accepted as God, as it were. And whenever you oppose him and go contrary to him, he hates you and he'll do all he can against you. And Job is certainly an example of that. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 10, "But the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy." And of course, the thief that he's talking about there is Satan, the adversary, who will do all he can to turn you aside and to defeat you. He comes as a thief to steal your affection away from God because he wants your affection, and he comes to kill, and that is to destroy your spiritual life. Not necessarily physical, but spiritually. He would do his utmost to kill you and to destroy your soul in an eternal hell. So they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, the Christian's duty in times of trials and persecutions, pray for and bless those who persecute them. This is the instruction of the Master. You have heard that it hath been said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. So we read in Matthew chapter 5, and verses 43 and 44, part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus said here, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." But you know, beloved, a Christian is not to hate anyone, and a Christian does not hate anyone. Oh yes, a Christian opposes sin. He is to eschew evil, and he is to oppose sin and stand against it. But he does not do so out of a spirit or an attitude of hate. He does it out of a heart of love. Whenever we pray for an unsaved person or endeavor to get them to turn from their sinful ways to serve the true and the living God, it's not a manifestation of hate. It's a manifestation of love. So Jesus said, you've heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you and do good to them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:43-44. Now, trials prove a blessing to those who are exercised thereby. And this may be a little difficult, as I said earlier, for us to see and for us to understand, but the Lord never allows a trial to come our way to weaken us or to defeat us or to turn us aside. Whenever the Lord sees fit to let a trial come our way, it is to be a blessing to us. It is to help us to grow strong and to increase in our Christian fervor and ardor for the Lord. So trials prove a blessing to those who are exercised thereby, who go through the trial, who go through the test, as God would be pleased and ordained for them to do so. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I would like to again repeat these verses of Scripture, and I'd like for you to notice what they actually tell us. We glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And I suppose all of us would have to acknowledge that we could use more patience. But God does not send patience down in a little package with a bow on it, but he allows tribulations to come our way, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And then patience experience. Yes, through our trials and through our tests and by manifesting patience, we gain experience. We grow in our Christian experience and experience hope. And what a wonderful hope we have as a Christian, not only in this time world, but in the world to come. We have a hope of eternal life with God the Father, God the Son, the holy angels, and all the redeemed of all ages. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What a blessed person is if they have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. And every child of God does have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the working and through the working of the precious Holy Spirit. Jesus said for us to love even our very enemies, and with the love of God ruling and reigning in our heart, we can do what Jesus said for us to do. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Let me read that verse again. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, not everything that happens in the world is for good. No, there's a lot of evil, and there's a lot of ungodliness in the world, a lot of hatred and malice. But the Lord is able to take those things which happen to us and make them work out for our good. That's the thought that Paul is expressing here in Romans 8 and 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in his second letter, chapter 4 and verse 17. And when Paul can say that all that he went through were light afflictions, we certainly have no right to murmur or complain, for Paul suffered many, many things, and yet he was able to say, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Yes, if we'll face the trial and by the grace of God overcome in the trial, we not only have a hope, but we have an eternal reward waiting for us in heaven. Salvation is God's greatest gift to mankind. It is no wonder that Satan works so hard to rob us of it. But God has promised us the grace that we need to be an overcomer. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he would not let us be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but that he would, with every temptation, make a way of escape. I'll be with you in the sixth trial, and I'll not forsake you in the seventh. Seven is a perfect number, so what the Lord is saying is, I will never forsake you. I will be with you, and he'll be with us just like he was with Paul. Paul sought the Lord three times to remove a certain thing, but the answer he got was, my grace is sufficient for you. And I'm sure God's grace is sufficient for everyone who will take him and take his way. I trust that these thoughts have been a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We trust that the Word of God and the Scriptures we have given have gone forth with the blessing and help of the Holy Spirit, that they might be an encouragement to the saints that are listening to our broadcast today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not write and let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast. And until then, may the Lord's blessings abide, is our sincere prayer.